2 Corinthians chapter 2, God gives us a statement of victory as Christians. And, you know, God wants us to have a victorious Christian life. And he talks about that here in verse 14. He says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" So I've entitled the message, Triumph in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here this morning to assemble in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ and open the wonderful Word of God. Use it in our hearts now, Lord, to work miracles in our lives, to draw us closer to you. We just pray you to accomplish your will in this service, and that it would all be from you. And may we glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul is saying we need to be thankful for what we have, which is victory. Amazing victory. As he says in verse 14, thanks be unto God. You know, we are to be thankful. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Referring, of course, to salvation. And that unspeakable gift is the opportunity to live a victorious, triumphant Christian life. He says there in verse 14, which always causeth us to triumph. God wants us to be living the victorious life every day. Always. Say, but wait a minute, I have trials. The world is always attacking me. I have problems. That's right. But that doesn't mean we can't triumph in Christ in the midst of our trials. When the Apostle Paul wrote for us to rejoice in the Lord always, he wrote it from prison. There in Philippians 4. God says he wants us to always be triumphing in Christ. And that word always shows up a lot. Like I said, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God uses that word a lot because he wants us to always be living the victorious life, because it should be independent of our circumstances. And yet often we attach it to our circumstances, and that's not what he wants, because we have victory, we have peace, we have joy, and all of those things come in Christ, which never changes. So notice he says, who causeth us to triumph. I hope that you live a triumphant Christian life. And if you don't, I believe that God wants you to, and you can. I'd like us to look at some scriptures about this triumphant life, if we could. Let's start in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And I believe it is God's will and God's desire that every one of his children live a life that is a life of triumph, of victory. Notice Ephesians 3:20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Whose power is that? That's God's power. The Bible says God's power gives us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's pretty exciting. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8, if we could, verse 37. And again, what is God's will for us as Christians? That we walk around depressed and down all the time? That we, you know, we have victory. We're going to heaven. We have Jesus. We've already won. And God wants us to triumph. Notice Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We've already won the battle. We've already read the end of the book, amen? And we win. The devil loses. Now, he knows he's going to lose, but in the meantime, he's going to cause as much trouble as he can. But we already know. We won. We have victory. We triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory. We are more than conquerors. Go to John chapter 16. Jesus Christ was trying to encourage his disciples before he went to the garden and then ultimately to the cross. And look what he told them here in John 16, verse 33. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So where does our peace come from? It comes from the Lord. He says, in me you might have peace. But he goes on to say, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He's telling them right up front, you're going to have problems. You're going to have tribulations. The devil's going to attack you. You're going to have to fight with the flesh. You're going to have to fight with this wicked world. You shall have tribulation. But look what he says. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we're in him, which means we're overcomers as well. Through Jesus. And then the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, whatsoever is born of faith overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Through Jesus Christ, we are overcomers, we are victorious, we are triumphant. And one more passage, John chapter 10, and verse 10, Jesus here is contrasting the devil's children with his children. And notice John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. It's all bad. Kill, steal, destroy. But look what he says. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So there's another word to add to our list. Victorious, triumphant, and abundant. That is the Christian life God wants us to have. And it is possible, go back to our passage, because of who we are in. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. A Christian who says, I can't triumph, I don't have victory, my life is horrible, I'm sad and depressed, what they're saying is, they're not claiming what they already have in Christ, which is a triumphant life. We have it because of who we are in, not because of who we are. We're not better than others because we're Christians, but because we are Christians, we are in Christ. So now we're part of Him. And in Christ, we are triumphant. And God has done a lot of things for us in Christ. He started by making us a new creature, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So the day we got saved, in Christ, we were made a new creature. Then look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is just a sampling. We could go on all afternoon talking about all that God has done for us in Christ. But ultimately, we are triumphant. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Look at verse 6 of Ephesians 1. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So in Christ, the Bible says that we already have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ, we are already accepted by God. The girls sang a song about that yesterday. And also down to verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So in Christ, we also obtained an eternal inheritance. And we're told in 1 Peter 1, it's undefiled and it fadeth not away, it's reserved. Each one of us has a reserved inheritance through Christ, in Christ. Look over in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's hard for us to get our heads around, but according to God's Word, we're already in heaven. Because remember, time means nothing to God. Time is something He created for us. But time is irrelevant with God. And because we're already in Christ, and Christ is seated in heaven, we're already in heaven. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm down here fighting this battle. Yeah, but in God's mind's eye, you're already in heaven because you're in Jesus. So in Jesus, we are new creatures. We have all spiritual blessings. We're accepted. We have an inheritance. We're already in heaven. And one more, Colossians chapter 2. Just over another couple of books. Verse 10. The Bible says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So just to add all the victories we have in Christ, the Bible says we're complete. Think about all those things. We can triumph in Christ. We can't triumph because, again, of who we are, or that we're special or whatever. But we can certainly triumph because one day we trusted Jesus Christ, and that day God placed us into Christ, and in Christ we can triumph. We have victory. The Bible says in Jude 1 that we are preserved in Jesus Christ. And we could go on about all these amazing things that we have in Christ. We can triumph in Christ. And look at verse 14 again of our passage, 2 Corinthians 2. And God says, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge. Everything God does, He does for a reason. We all know that. God makes no mistakes. When God saves us, why does He leave us behind? Why not just take us to heaven? Why leave us here to have to fight with the flesh, have to fight with the devil, and have to fight with the world? We're going to heaven anyway, and that can't change. We're already in heaven. So why not just take us to heaven so that we don't have to fight? Well, because it was God's plan that He would use people to reach people. He chose to do it that way. And if you're here today and you're saved, it's because somewhere along the way, somebody told you about Christ. That's the reality of it. And that's the way it's worked for 2,000 years. And as we triumph in Christ, God says that if we will live that victorious Christian life, He says that it will be manifest. In other words, it's going to be visible to others that our knowledge of the Lord is growing, and it will be a sweet savor or a sweet scent of His knowledge that we have victory or we are triumph in Jesus Christ. It's going to be manifest. And Christians that live the victorious Christian life, they can't help themselves but affect others. That's the facts. God's word should be so sweet to us, as it says, the savor of His knowledge, that we feast on it all the time, which only makes that victory more real in our lives, and we will live it, and it will be manifest to others. David said, how sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. In Psalm 119, 103. David said, God's knowledge is a savor to me, and it should be to all of us. We should desire His word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. God wants us to love it. He wants it to be something that we want to feast on as much as possible. Because what's going to happen is that victory is going to become so real in our lives as we feast on His Word that God's going to make it manifest. He's going to make it obvious to others that we are triumphant. And it should be. Because He says there in verse 14, by us in every place. Isn't that good? Every place. Every place we go, God says He wants us to be a blessing to others because we are triumphant. And He's going to go on to say that we're not only a blessing to the saved, we should be a blessing to the unsaved, even in the sense of, as we talked about last Sunday night, that they had an opportunity to hear about Jesus, even if they might not get saved. But He wants us to be triumphant, that we might be manifest, as it says here, in every place. He wants us to be a blessing to others. Go back to Matthew 5. Jesus talked about this when He talked about us being the salt of the earth. And He used this word savor. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, He says, ye are the salt of the earth. Well, what does salt do? If you're like me, you tend to sprinkle it on most things. Just to what? Add a little bit more flavor. Right? That's why we bother. Even though we're told it's bad for us, we still do it because it tastes good. It makes things taste better. We wouldn't use it if it didn't. And Jesus says that we are the salt. So he says, I'm going to leave you here to make things taste better. That's the truth of it. And he goes on to say, if the salt have lost his savor, in other words, if you end up with a batch of salt that doesn't have any taste, it's pretty useless. He says, if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing. But God said that we are a savor because we have triumphant Christian lives. We are a savor to this world. And he goes on to say, go back to our passage, we are not only a savor to the world, or should be, but he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 2:15, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We're even a sweet savor to Him. And I talked about a little bit about this yesterday, but God created us in His image so that we might spend time with Him. And it brings pleasure to God when we do. He created us for fellowship. We see that in the Garden of Eden with Adam. And the Bible says that when we are living that triumphant Christian life, we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God. That it's, in other words, we're being a blessing to our Creator when we live the life He wants us to live. That it's a sweet scent or a sweet savor to Him when we are living that kind of a Christian life. You know, the Bible says, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are here to please God ultimately, but we're here to be a blessing to God. It's one of the reasons why we sing when we have church. Why? Because we're worshiping the Lord. We want to be a blessing to God. We're not here for our own entertainment. We're here to glorify Him, to try to please Him. Notice 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up in spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God. God wants us to be that sweet savor of Christ unto God. He wants us to live the victorious Christian life that we already have. He wants it to be a reality in our behavior. So go back to our passage here in 2 Corinthians 2. He says, in them that are saved and in them that perish. When a Christian lives a triumphant life, which we all already have, but he wants us to live it, not only is it a sweet savor to God, but the Bible says that we are a blessing to the saved and to the unsaved. It says to them that are saved and in them that perish. So what is the Bible telling us? If we'll live a triumphant Christian life, it's actually going to influence other Christians for good, which is a blessing. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools should be destroyed. We do influence others, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, it's a fact. And if we're victorious, it has an influence on others, other Christians. And the Bible says, you know, that there should be no schism in the body, but we should have the same care one for another. We're here to be a blessing to one another. God gave us gifts so that we can be a blessing to one another. And we're here to encourage and help and admonish, edify, and we could go on and on. We're here to be a blessing to others. And when we live that victorious Christian life, we're not only a sweet savor to God, but we're a sweet savor to others. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And a victorious Christian will do that very thing, put others first. But then he goes on to say, to the one we are the savor of death unto death. What in the world? Go to 1 Corinthians 1:18. What he's saying is that when we live the victorious Christian life, we are even a savor to the unsaved. Now, does that mean that they are all going to fall down at our knees and say, what must I do to be saved? No, that's not what it's saying. But it is saying that we are going to have an influence on their lives. It may be, has anybody ever experienced, when you're working your secular job, other people giving you a hard time because you're a Christian? Of course we have. What's that about? Why do they do that? We aren't picking on them. We aren't being, you know, cruel to them and causing them to act that way. It's because our very presence, because they know we're Christians, makes them uncomfortable, doesn't it? We're a savor of God and of our knowledge of God and our victory in Christ. It's a savor to them. It's a scent to them. But that savor doesn't necessarily result in salvation, but it does affect them. Notice 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Same preaching, same gospel. To the saved, it's power. To the unsaved, it's often foolishness. And we've all been there, where we've shared the gospel with somebody and they've thought it was foolish, they laughed at us or whatever. But we were still a savor to them. Now we're a sweet savor to Christ. It doesn't say that we're a sweet savor to the lost. But we are a savor. We're here to be that salt. And God finishes here in verse 16 of our passage by saying, and who is sufficient for these things? What a question. Who is sufficient? Who can pull this off? Who has the sufficiency or the power to live a triumphant Christian life? Well, he's asking the question because it's one of those questions that has an obvious answer. If you go to 2 Corinthians 3, just the next chapter over, he answers the question just one chapter later, verse 5. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In other words, none of us are sufficient for these things, but God is. And if we're living a victorious, triumphant Christian life, it's through the power of the Lord, not in our own strength or our own power. We aren't sufficient of these things. And as Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 5, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think that we have anything, that we can do it. He says, our sufficiency is of God. Right? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. So to live the triumphant Christian life isn't a guarantee, because God gave us a free will. We can choose to lean on God's power and God's sufficiency and live the life He wants us to live and be that triumphant Christian who's a sweet savor to the Lord and a sweet savor to the saved and a savor to the unsaved. Or we cannot. It's our choice. The point is that the power's there, because we're already in Christ. We are already triumphant in Christ. We already have the victory. God wants us to live the victory. So what a great reminder for us this morning of what God wants from us. He wants us to show the world that we have victory, that we triumph in Jesus Christ, because we do. Think about it. Think of all that we have and all that we've received in Christ. You know, we're just not just new creatures, but we've got an inheritance and we've got a mansion waiting for us. We've got God living us. We've got Jesus who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's there to even put the words in our mouth, the Bible says. We have everything. We have His Word to feed on. But we have to avail ourselves of those things and of that power and make it a reality. But Paul says that we always triumph in Christ. We need to make that a reality. Amen? Let's pray.